Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to take just 1 week off of the Gospel of Mark. It's a special Sunday for a number of reasons. I've already mentioned on the secular calendar, Mother's Day on the Christian calendar, the Sunday after Ascension, and also the new hymnals are in. So this week I'm going to speak about the importance of music in worship. That's what the epistle lesson was about. I did it intentionally. We can think about worship, the word worship, in a broad way and then in a more narrow way. The choir sang about glorifying, letting our light shine. Well, that is a way in which we worship God by how we live. And so in that sense, you could say all of your life is to be an act of worship to God. So whether you're washing the dishes, or you're teaching at school, or you're going to the grocery store, it ought to be an act of worship. This morning, I'm going to focus on the more narrow definition of worship, and we praise God as we're gathered together as the people of God, and as Paul says, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the more narrow meaning of worship that I want to focus on today. And I like to call what we do on this day the service of divine worship, because it reminds us why we're here. This morning, I want to consider this basic question: how are we to worship God? And we're going to answer that question, how, by thinking about two follow-up questions. Who are we to worship, and with what are we to worship? So first, who are we to worship? We're to worship God, eternally existing in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Notice the words of our text in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So in these three short verses, all three members of the Trinity are mentioned. We are to be filled with the Spirit as we give praise and thanks to God. We're also told who are we to praise and give thanks to. We're to give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. When I was in seminary, I heard a very simple definition of prayer as talking to God the Father through the work of God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a simple but profound truth, and as we meditate on this simple definition of prayer, it ought to stick with us throughout our earthly pilgrimage here on earth. Now I'm going to take that simple definition of prayer, and I'm going to apply this to a simple definition of worship. We worship God the Father through the work of God the Son by the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians 8, 5, 18 through 20 is talking about. Worshiping God the Father through God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me unpack a little bit more about being filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5, 18. I want to nail down this command, be filled. I don't usually do this, but sometimes grammar is important. So here we go. This command, be filled, is a second person plural, you addressing a group of people. All right, I have to say both Northerners and Southerners are wrong. You don't have to say y'all. You don't have to say you guys. You is sufficient. You be filled with the Spirit. It's also a present passive imperative. So we need to present, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Passive, we are to yield to the Holy Spirit as we entrust ourselves and pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. And I'm going to apply it each and every day. There is one baptism of the Holy Spirit which happens at the moment of regeneration, but there's many fillings. So take away this truth. One baptism, many fillings. How often do you need to be filled with the Spirit? I would say every day. Today is May the 13th. I need, as a believer, to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me. Tomorrow is a new day. I need to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me. It ought to be a prayer each and every day. There is your many fillings. As Christians, we need to realize that we are utterly dependent upon God the Holy Spirit, to yield to Him, that He might continue His work of holiness within our lives. How easy is it to trust God when things are stressful? If we're really honest, it's extremely hard. It's hard to follow these easy to understand but hard to do commandments that are given right in this passage. For instance, making the most of your time. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Praising and giving thanks to God in all things, and subjecting to one another in the fear of Christ. These are hard commands to follow and to obey. Because we're all born with a sinful nature inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, we come out being born sinful and ignorant. And we are in the lifetime process of learning to follow God's will and being filled with God's wisdom instead of our own foolishness. And it's a lifetime assignment. You can be wise in one situation and act like an utter fool 5 minutes later. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit each and every day of your life. We too easily overdo something, as the command is given, don't be drunk with wine. That can be applied to a million other things. Don't overdo electronics. Don't overdo your job. Don't overdo food. Don't overdo your family. Even a good thing, when taken too far, ends up being a bad thing. That's hard to do. That's why we need the fullness of God's Spirit each and every day of our lives. And so we need to admit that these are hard commandments to follow, and we all stumble, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to work His work within our lives as we give thanks to God the Father, through God the Son, by the Holy Spirit. So who are we to worship? One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second is, with what are we to worship God? Now, I'm not talking about musical instruments. That's not what I mean, with what. With what is psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody with your heart to the Lord. There are varying ways to understand psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Are these three words overlapping, describing the same kind of music? Are they airtight departments, or is there somewhat overlap with some differences? I have three words to summarize my position. I don't know. Most commentators totally ignore this question. I've said that in the past. When they get to really difficult things, they don't say anything about it. But Paul certainly included, I would think, within Psalms, the book of Psalms in the Hebrew Scriptures, the 150 Psalms. Even in the New Testament, certain passages such as Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and Colossians 1, 15 through 20, are probably examples of New Testament hymns of songs of praise to Christ as God. But when I am pressed, how do I make a distinction between hymns and spiritual songs? That's where I don't know. I know people who make airtight distinctions. I'm not persuaded by them. But that's all right. There may be something distinct about hymns and spiritual songs, but at this point in my life, as a clergyman and a student of Scripture, I can't clearly pinpoint what that is. For instance, in morning prayer and evening prayer, we sing the Song of Mary. That's an evening prayer. We sing the Song of Zechariah. Both of them are in Luke 1 and 2. In Scripture, it says, Mary said, and Zechariah said. How soon did they sing those words? We don't know. It's okay to sing them. It's okay to say them. But again, I can't say this is a hymn or this is a spiritual song or when this came from words as a poem and gradually went to a hymn or spiritual song. I just don't know. Whether you favor overlapping or separate meanings for psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it would seem apparent to me that there is a large diversity of good music with which to praise the triune God. I found an interesting historical reference in the early history of the church which affirms the purpose of hymns in the early church. There was an individual called Pliny the Younger who was governor of Bithynia, which is now in modern-day Turkey. And Pliny the Younger wrote a letter to the Roman Emperor Trajan around the year 112 AD, asking for counsel on how to deal with Christians, whether to imprison them, to execute them, to ignore them, what intensity to use in trying to stamp out Christianity. And in this letter, Pliny the Younger said, in the meetings of these Christians, they sang hymns to Christ as God. The purpose of the hymns was to praise Jesus Christ as God. And that's an unbeliever describing what Christian worship was like. Modern-day skeptics of Christianity attempt to portray a development of Christian teaching about Jesus as God as if he never claimed to be divine, but as if it was a later teaching of the Christian church. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Gospels were written within the lifetime of the apostles. The apostles were the ones that wrote it. Jesus Christ commissioned those apostles. So you cannot, even from a historical point of view, push off the Gospels as if they were hundreds of years from the time of Christ. No, in fact, there's a manuscript of the Gospel of John that can be dated as early as 125 AD. And so the Gospels, in fact, Jesus Christ himself taught that he was God. Because Jesus himself said he was the Son of God, the divine Son of God, and one with the Father. There is a point under the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that I also want to reflect on because it can be easily overlooked. Paul's words in Ephesians 5:19 says that as we praise God with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we are also speaking to one another as we do that. It's an interesting thing to think about, that as we're singing praise to God, we're also doing something to one another. We understand the vertical dimension as we praise God, but how about the horizontal dimension of how we impact one another as we are praising God? A parallel passage in Paul's writings helping to clarify what speaking to one another in our praise to God means is taken from Colossians 3:16, which will sound awfully familiar. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So if we take these two passages, Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:18, they are so similar in their wording. In fact, Colossians 3 builds on what speaking to one another is about. As we speak to one another, as we praise God, in the singing of good gospel hymns, psalms, spiritual songs, we are teaching and admonishing one another. Healthy and vibrant worship music gives instruction in the Christian faith, consolation, warning, and hope from God's word and gospel. All of our music must be in line with the substance of the word of Christ, the gospel. It would take a whole series of sermons or Bible studies, and I'm not doing that, but what are the standards of what good sacred music is? But I will throw this in for further reflection. Sound and substantial music fitting for public worship are songs which focus on who God is and his eternal being and nature as the Holy Trinity, as well as what God has done for us in saving us from sin and death. God's saving work of us includes both past, present, and future aspects of our salvation. How he has saved us, how he is saving us, and how he will save us. One hymn cannot cover all of that broad territory, but it will focus on some aspect of God's character or God's work in saving us, and then anchor it in praise to the living and true God. And speaking about the importance of music in the services of divine worship, I hope we can see the important role that music has to play in both the Old and New Testament churches. The Apostle Paul doesn't simply see sacred music as an add-on to the worship service, some kind of fancy embroidery to fill in time. No, it's important that we glorify God, praise God, but also build one another up in the most holy faith as we sing. Our praise and worship of God is an important element in practicing and nurturing one another in the Christian faith as we are gathered together. If you don't want your mind to go wandering off into the darkness of sin, we must keep ourselves well stocked, not only with the sayings of God's word, but also good hymns. I learned as a young boy from my mother hymns that were embedded in her memory, and she could sing them whether she was in church or away from church. It's good to have that so well stocked in your memory that at times it comes up unbidden from your subconscious to your conscious. And so we are to praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with good, rich, biblically oriented music from past and present to build one another up in the most holy and Christian faith. Let us praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. To him be the glory. Let us pray. Eternal God, help us to praise you, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us also to keep our eyes fixed on you and what is important as we seek to love and serve you. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.